minister to others. In verse 26, he said, "I testify that I am innocent of the blood of all men." Do you know something? It is possible for us to have blood guiltiness because we have not told the people what the Bible says. People who desperately need to know God's truth. Blood guiltiness. Paul says, "I am innocent of the blood of all men." That is a remarkable statement. Why? Verse 27 says, "For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God." It links back to verse 20, faithfulness, a surrendered self. It is so very important as a church leader, being faithful in discarding my duties at every opportunity and to every person that God has given to me. The example of Paul is the example for all church leaders to follow. The second issue I want you to see here is for leaders, and that is the expectations to fulfill. The expectations to fulfill. Verses 28 to 35. Paul reminds these elders of their particular responsibilities. He exhorts them, beginning in verse 28, pay attention, pay attention. Be on guard for yourselves, Paul says. Watch out, church leader. The Bible puts the premium on watching your own life. Paul, writing in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, says, "Keep a close watch on yourself and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right." Every church leader must examine this carefully. Be on guard, first for himself and then for the flock. You know, what is the most important ingredient for leadership in God's church? You know what it is? It's a godly lifestyle. It's a godly lifestyle. Over the long haul, it's your life that really counts. What you say to people, how you exercise your leadership, it is what you're like. Is there a godly lifestyle? Are you truly walking with the Lord? Take heed, Paul says. Pay attention. The priority begins with us. And we must not enter into a ministry unless we are right with God. Our relationship to God in the area of holiness is most important. Paul also exhorts them about several other things. For example, he deals with pastoral activity in verse 28. And every elder has to be a pastor. He doesn't call them to be pastors, but he does tell them to shepherd according to verse 28. Be sure that you feed and shepherd God's flock. Our primary responsibility is people, the flock of God, caring for people, feeding them, helping them to grow and develop and exercise their gift. Shepherd the church of God and remember that He purchased them with His own blood. They don't belong to us. This is not my church. It is not the elders' church. It is the church of Jesus Christ. He bought it with his own precious blood. And we must never forget that. He is the head of the church, the great shepherd. And the church is his. And we are his servants trying to do what he wants us to do. Then note, protection advocated in verse 29 to 31. Leaders have a very special and difficult job. Look at verse 29. Paul says, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. The church leader's job is to guard the people well so that savage wolves coming in don't stand a chance. But it's not only from the outside, it is also from within. Verse 30 says, even some of you will distort the truth. Now this is talking about twisting things. Why? The motivation is to draw away disciples after them. It isn't easy to be a church leader. Believe me, it isn't easy. There is an expectation to fulfill. A requirement of a church leader, according to Paul, involves protection. To be vigilant, to be aware, to be alert, and to watch the flock of God. Paul also writes a personal admonishing or warning needs to be done. In verse 31 he says, remember that night and day for a period of 3 years I did not cease to admonish you with tears. You don't admonish people about problems they're going to face without having a heart for those people. There has to be compassion. Paul over and over again speaks about admonishing people. What does it mean to admonish? It means to give counsel that includes a warning. It is firm. It is a firm gentleness. Church leaders are not just to watch, they are also to care and warn. Admonishment is not easy. It is difficult work. But it has to be done. And it must be done with tears and faithfulness to the Lord. Then in terms of spiritual growth, Paul has a principal aim. A principal aim for church leaders. He says in verse 32, make sure that you are men of the word who really know what you are saying, who really understand what God's word teaches. That should be our principal aim. And the inheritance that we have in people's lives is built there and developed there by our ministry, by the ministry of the word that we are able to impart into their lives. And that's very, very important. The principal aim is to know the word and to be built up. And then I noticed the pleasing action. Note that Paul says in verse 33, don't covet anything. In other words, be free from self-interest. Verse 34 says, support yourself. Work hard and help the weak. Verse 35, remember that Jesus said it is more blessed to give than receive. Very important this. Church leaders must be able to give. They are to be men who work hard, who support themselves, who know how to be independent and to walk with God. But what They must be. Far more important than anything else is to have a heart to give and a heart to share with others. How we need that among our church leaders today. We need church leaders who are willing to give rather than receive. The third and final thing I want you to see here in Acts 20 for church leaders is the expressions to foster. The expressions to foster. In verse 36, 38, there were expressions of love revealed between these elders and Paul, and tells us a little bit more about the quality of their relationship with one another. And I think this is a point we need to look at carefully. Two things to notice here. One, the prayerful attitude. Paul knelt down as the common custom was, and he prayed for them all. Do you know something? I believe that prayer should dominate all kinds of leadership in God's church. I believe that. And I say this to you all, no matter what ministry you are serving in, let us not forget to bathe it in prayer. Here Paul indicated that his common practice was unceasing prayer for people. He prayed for them. And I would like to challenge us all as a fellowship to pray for each other. Do you know that the greatest thing that you can do for the leadership in our local church here is to pray for the leaders on a regular, consistent basis, and by name, and by name. Pray for us, pray for us. There wasn't just prayer, there was physical affection shared here. They were close. Verse 37 says, they wept aloud and embraced him. They knew they wouldn't see him anymore. There was strong affection between them. I don't like cold churches, do you? Many churches suffer today because the people are unfriendly, lacking warmth and love for each other. Relationships of love and tenderness amongst church leaders, I believe, are vital to a healthy church that truly honors God. Let me ask you, don't you think that this church here, Church on Vogel, should be a place of love? Do you think this is true? I pray that the day won't come when we would become cold and aloof and indifferent so that we can't care about the people who are here. They wept, their tears indicating broken hearts for Paul, grieving that they wouldn't see him anymore. That relationship, I believe, is a healthy church. And these men had a relationship with Paul, whom I believe is an example to all church leaders today. There was physical affection. There's only two of our leaders here today, Tarsa and myself, and we're both willing to line up to share with that affection that you may have for us. Yeah, that's not in my notes, sorry. So to summarise, time's gone. Summarise. Acts 20 clearly sets out the challenging requirements for church leaders and what are the priorities of ministry. Self-examination, feeding and leading the flock, watching and warning, praying and studying, and no self-interest. And the reward of this kind of ministry is mentioned in verse 37. They loved him. Why did they love him? They loved him because there was a consistency between what he said and who he was. And this challenged me to realize that if I, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can come anywhere close to ministering in the manner that the Holy Spirit desires, God will reward me with the love from the saints. Yes, a faithful leader has this marvelous reward. However, I must say this in closing. Despite all the challenging requirements given in Scripture for church leaders, we should all realize that our church leaders are fully human and imperfect. And thus they will have shortcomings once in a while. The best thing you can do is to pray for them. Pray for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for the lessons that we have learnt and today. And Lord, I pray that you will endeavorly impress them upon our minds as we continue to pray for guidance as to who you would have serve in an elder's ministry in our local church family here. We love you, Lord. We desire to serve you to the utmost. You are King. And in humility, tears, whatever the trials, Lord, may we honor you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.